Ione Klinger is running for the State House from District 20. Ione, please remind us why you're running.
Well, I decided to run for basically three reasons. First of all, I've always been political. I was a person who on my Saturday mornings would spend my time at the Cracker Barrels, if either here in Mitchell, or I would drive to Plankinton to see what was going on in the legislature, to visit with my legislators, to discuss issues that were important to me. And because I've realized you have to stay on top of things in Pier. They happen quickly. And then number two, this last legislative session, I was concerned when the legislature repealed the initiative about ethics and then made it more difficult for us to even refer an issue in the future. I remember in seventh grade listening to the civics class in eighth grade learn about the referendum in South Dakota and how we were the first ones to actually do this and how awesome that we were the leaders in this. And now I'm living to see it being taken away from the public in a way. So that bothered me. In my opinion, that was taking away the voice of the people. And then for the third reason, I just think it's time for us to have some people with different perspectives, from different points of view in Pier to represent us. And so I feel I can bring that.
What skills and knowledge would you bring to state government?
Well, I believe that as an educator, I've spent my entire career working with people, solving problems, and also during my career, I was on several negotiations teams. And as you know, negotiations teams work on keying in on what is the issues that need to be solved, creating solutions to those problems. And then you have to work with the other side and come up with the compromises that are needed to actually make a policy that everyone can live with. And so I think that over my career, not only as an educator, but also in the other areas that I've been involved in the community, because I've served on boards and that we've had to, again, come to consensus and deal with issues and problems. And I feel that I've got the skills that I can use to take to Pier.
What do you believe are the three top responsibilities of state government?
The three top responsibilities would be, number one is to make sure that our citizens are well cared for. It is their responsibility to make sure that we have a good quality of life. And then second of all, I believe it is their responsibility to make sure that what they're doing is living within the means that they are provided with our tax money, and that they can do it responsibly. And then for the third reason, I think that a government has a responsibility to make sure that the future is good for its citizenry. That being that we are providing a good education for folks, that we are providing the infrastructure to be safe as we're traveling and around our state, but also that within cities, that we have the infrastructure that we need to be successful.
What letter grade would you give to state government overall and why?
Well, I would say I would give them a C. I believe that there have been some things that they have done that have been good. I believe that they have done some things with the Blue Ribbon Task Force, being aware that our state had a need in education to bring up the quality of the pay that they were offering the teachers. We were losing good teachers to other states. We were not recruiting the best teachers here because they were leaving to other states. And so I thought they did a good job with that. But I don't think that they have been as open as they should have been and accountable as they should have been over this time. And I feel that when we have the same thing, the same people from the same backgrounds, we don't have the diversity of ideas then. And so then I think we lose out on what opportunities would have been available to us because of that.
What are your thoughts on how the state should deal with prison overcrowding due to the rising abuse of methamphetamine and opioid drugs?
Well, the drug issue is, I believe, one of the three top issues that we're going to face in our state. And when we talk about the prison population, I kind of go back to education is my thing. And I'm going back to the fact that we as a citizenry have a choice. We can pay now or we can pay later, but we will pay. And to me, it is easier for us and cheaper for us to pay now in preschool education and in preventative type of things than to pay later when we have to pay an expensive prison population bill. With the expense of the costs of prison, I think we need to look at the drug issue as one where preventative issues or preventative means have got to be in place. And maybe that starts with us as citizens, that we can start taking a part of trying to make positive and long-lasting relationships with our young people. Being involved with them, whether it's your family members, your neighbors, children that you know from church, trying to create those relationships with them so that they can have a positive relationship with an adult. And then from there, trying to implement other programs, whether they be something that we've learned from other schools, other states, where we can start to prevent the start of drugs. And then if we do have addiction, that we have to realize that we have to look at each individual and determine whether prison is the appropriate place for that individual for what they have done with their with the crime of drug abuse, or if, as we've been seeing in the reports in the Daily Republic, the success of drug courts, is that the answer for this particular individual and what they have done? And again, this is not just a South Dakota issue. This is a nationwide issue. Are there things that are going on in other states that have been proven to be successful that we could also bring to South Dakota to use? And also, what is occurring right now in South Dakota? We know that there are already programs going here with drug rehabilitation. And needing to look at those, which ones are successful. We know that it's not a quick fix. Sometimes we think, a 30-day period of time is what would fix these and things. And we know that some of these drug addictions are very difficult to solve and to overcome. And so we're going to have to keep that in mind, too, as we look at this whole issue of drug addiction.
What changes, if any, would you like to see in the current K-12 funding formula?
Well, I guess, first of all, I believe that the key is that we keep funding it, that we make sure that we are funding it to the full extent that it's provided by the law, because we know that our school districts are working to do the very best with that money that they're given to provide the very best education. I've been out in the small districts and talking to people about what they're doing with their money and how they're using it to provide the very best education. I grew up in a small district, so I believe in what they have to offer our students, and I know how vital they are to our state. And in having worked in a large district, what the large districts are doing to also do the very best in providing an education for our students. Right now, I believe, like I said, it's making sure that we fund it to the full extent of the law.
What would you propose to increase transparency in state government?
Well, I think that there are several things that we could be doing. Making sure that our public records are open and kept for long enough time. So if there was mismanagement, it could be investigated and discovered. Disclosure among our lobbyists, making sure that we know what our lobbyists, how much money they're spending, and what are the things that they're doing. We have a current website. It's called Open South Dakota. It's open.sd.gov, actually. And right now you can go there and find some things online about our state. But making sure that we're using that to fully show some our citizens what's going on and that they can easily access documents that they would be looking for whether it be campaign finance, donor data, or voting records, or fiscal documents, or whatever they're looking for. And then, you know, I'd like to return the referendum law to its prior form before the previous legislative session.
What is your definition of corruption?
To me, corruption is when decisions are made, and usually when we think about politicians, I guess we think about, corruption, we usually think about it in the area of government. But it's when things happen where decisions are made without a great deal of public input and behind, we kind of think about behind closed doors is what I think about. When it's more secrecy is involved and more one-sidedness maybe is involved.
If elected, what committee assignments do you plan to seek and why?
Oh, definitely education. There is no doubt in my mind I want to be on that committee. I am truly committed to this idea of a state paid preschool because I've seen what can happen when children come to school unprepared to learn. As a Title I teacher, part of my job at the very first part of the year was to help the kindergarten teachers do some quick assessments with the children. And I quickly saw students who were so prepared for school. They knew some of them knew their letters already, their numbers, their colors. You could tell that their language development was very good and that they were ready to learn. And then I saw children come and they'd heard about the names of Q and X and 3 and 5, but really had no idea if that was a letter, a number, or what that symbol looked like. And their language development was not equal to the others. And they're obviously, this was the first time they'd ever seen anything that resembled a school. So to be prepared to learn is so important. There's so much expected of our students today. And these children who were coming in unprepared, it really was no fault of their own that this was happening to them. So for our state to recognize that, yes, we have to join the rest of the nation and be a part of state-funded preschool is so important to me, and I want to be a part of all of that.
What are your thoughts on enacting a state corporate or personal income tax? Why or why not?
I just don't think right now is the time to even think about an income tax. I know that states that do implement it feel that it's because it's a fairer tax, because it taxes you according to your income. South Dakota believes that, I think most South Dakotans believe that that's not something that they're interested in doing. And although it would be a fairer tax, I just don't think it's something that's going to fly here at all. So I think that what we need to do is to use what our citizens believe is going to be what they want to use, and we need to use that money wisely. Just as Jim and I, as we were going through our marriage, took their income that we had and we had to prioritize it. For instance, when we were first married, we saved for a house. And then after we were going to have children, then we had to use our money in a different way. We had diapers and formula. And now my money is used another way because now I've saved for my retirement, and now I'm using it in a completely different way. So over our marriage, we had different priorities. And I believe state government has to do the very same thing. We have to think about what our income is, and then we also have to prioritize it. What do we need to use our money for to maintain our quality of life, but also what are the priorities now? What are the issues now that are facing our citizens that we may have to redirect money toward from some other source, from another area that is not so vital anymore as time has gone on?
What do you feel is the biggest challenge facing state government in the next 2 years?
Well, I think, again, it's forward thinking in the areas of education, accountability, and our drug addiction. I think those are the three areas we've got to be, again, with our education. I keep hearing workforce, and I know that our schools are doing a very good job of making sure that our students have access to various forms of training or classwork where they can go out into the communities and do some shadowing or whatever to see once if that's an area of work they'd like to go into. Also being exposed to some of the trade, some things like out at our technical school, those type of skills. And that's good. But I think our education, I've always believed education is more than just equipping you to get a job. You are educated so that you can be a good thinker, that you can work with other people, that we have given you the opportunities to develop lifelong leisure skills so that you can use your leisure time wisely, that we prepare you to be a well-rounded person. You've been exposed to the fine arts. You have been given opportunities in many ways to develop your own personal skills. And so that when you go out into the workforce, you are a well-rounded person to be the best employer or employee that you could possibly be for us as a society. And then again, we've talked a little bit more. We've talked about the accountability, and I think I've explained my position there. And then the drug addiction, that when we face... We've talked about prevention. We've talked about trying to break that cycle. And then the one thing that we did not talk about was in our state's future, we're going to have to think about what we're going to be offering our children and families of those who are addicted, because we know that it's not just the person that's addicted that's involved. It's also the families of those who are addicted.
What are your thoughts on expanding Medicaid?
Well, we know that it was offered to us and that our Governor Dugard was interested in what was offered at that time. We do know that there's 50 to 55,000 South Dakotans that would be impacted if we did expand it. My thinking is that we as a state need to look at what's available now. That's what was available in the past. And with a new administration, I just don't know what's available now, and that we need to look at that and see how that would fit with what our needs would be and how that would fit with our whole budgetary system and peer.
And is there anything else that you'd like to add?
I would just like to say that I appreciate this opportunity that that KORN has offered me to get my ideas out to the public. I just like to say that I have thoroughly enjoyed my time. One of the things that I enjoy doing, I love reading, I love walking, and I'm surely glad I love walking because I have put on many miles in this district. I have met wonderful people. I've had great experiences. It is something that I've thoroughly enjoyed. Met so many people that I would have never had the opportunity to meet before. And I also have seen in this district as I've gone, of course, I've lived in Mitchell, 44, not in Mitchell, but in Davison County, but in the close Mitchell area for 44 years. So I'm very familiar with what we do here in Mitchell. But as I've gone to Ethan and Mount Vernon and Stickney and White Lake and Wessington Springs, Plankinton, I've noticed that each one of these communities has such pride in what they are offering as a way of life. I've also noticed what each one is doing in order to make sure that their citizens have a good education and the best economic development, those types of things as they're talking about what they're trying to do and develop in those communities. So I've been really impressed with what's going on in our district. And I'm also seeing there's things that I know that they would love to continue to grow and do. And I'd love to be a part of being able to allow the large and the small communities to grow.
And that's Ione Klinger. She's a candidate for the State House of Representatives from District 20.